you so much to the band. His grace is indeed enough. I've been, maybe like some of you, struggling with a bit of a virus for 2 or 3 weeks, so I want to say right up there that I'm not 100%, so value your prayers as I'm preaching, so that I don't have to pretend somehow that I'm all okay and I'm bringing my absolute A game here. But, you know, the way that God works is that when we feel rubbish, he's often a lot better. And when we feel great, we'll not be too proud, and he doesn't work quite so much. So we're going to pray and ask for his Holy Spirit's help in the midst of what we've been thinking about already and what we're thinking about in terms of Christmas. So let's pray. Father, we just pray now that you continue to help us. We ask for your Holy Spirit's help. Come, we pray, awaken us to your reality. Awaken us to the beauty of Christ coming down at Christmas. And I pray that you would fill me now in my utter weakness, that Christ may receive the glory and that I may boast of Jesus and not of anything else. And that we may together in our weakness delight in your beauty and your magnitude and your awe. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start, I want us to see in this passage in Luke 1 chapter 20, verses 28 to 38, I want us to see in this passage that God's grace is sufficient for Mary and it's sufficient for us. And I don't know whether we believe that this morning or not, or even if we understand what God's grace is. I think for many of us growing up in churches, particularly across Scotland, I was converted in the Highlands. I haven't been able to get rid of this accent. You know, the Lord, I was born in England and born again in Scotland. I've asked many times, Lord, give me a beautiful Highland accent, but it hasn't happened. But, you know, I have lived for 30 years in Scotland, so please keep praying for me. So, but you see, his grace is sufficient for us, and it was sufficient for Mary. So the angel went to her and said, in verse 28, greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. The Lord is with you. And this word favor is so rich that we just go, oh yeah, okay, favor. Yeah, she found favor. Well, maybe she was favorable. But in the Greek, this word is charis, which means grace. You maybe know some girls called charis. And this means grace. So the Lord favored her with grace. Mary was troubled by this encounter. Was she freaked out because she saw an angel? Was like, oh my goodness, there's an angel. I mean, I would be kind of freaked out. Wouldn't you be freaked out? Oh my goodness, look at it. And it doesn't look anything like the angels in the nativity plays. Isn't it incredible? Just an awesome, it's actually a guy. It's called Gabriel. Incredible. And I'm not even so much freaked out by that. And I only just got this week when I looked at this. Look at it in the text. That's why it's important to dig into the word. Look at what it says in the text. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his freaky wings? No, his words. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Have you noticed that before? Maybe you have. Maybe I've just been a bit blind all these years. Mary was troubled at his words. And the angel says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor, grace upon grace with God. The Lord is with you. Incredible. Grace upon grace for her. And Mary was troubled by this encounter. But it's important for us to understand that in the Middle Eastern culture, there was an honor and shame culture which exists now. And we live in a culture which is a law and guilt culture. Have you noticed that? So don't break the law. If you do, you're guilty. Okay? So Will knows about that in all his years of the police. You're booked. Right? So don't break the law. If you do, you're guilty or you feel guilty. Whereas the culture she was in was an honor and shame culture. You don't bring shame to your family. Our culture is individualistic. We just like, okay, well, I've got to keep the law, got to do the right thing. And oh, and have you noticed? And maybe you have, it's all about my rights, isn't it? Or even if you're not into kind of like major political rights, we're all in our worst moments of pride. Well, it's my right. It's my right. It's my right to watch this TV program. Who are you to tell me what to do? It's my right to make my cup of tea now. Who are you to tell me what to do? It's my right. And yet there was an honor and shame culture that Mary was part of. And that encounter of what was going to happen would have brought great shame, not upon just her, but her community and the village that she lived in. And you have to avoid at all costs shame. But you see, we don't get that quite because we're in this law and guilt culture. It's like my rights individually. I've got to keep the law. Now, why is that important for us? Now, if, like me, you were converted through the free church living up in the Highlands, so you can see my journey is very much I was born again in Scotland, right? Because in that part of Scotland, they go, you think they're having an asthma attack, but in Sutherland, it's like, aye, right? So I was encountering that for the first time. Aye, very good. Aye. So basically, when I was in that church, and I was converted through that church, and the free church is amazing and it's great, but sometimes maybe not hearing enough about God's grace, maybe not hearing about God's grace in the way that it wasn't just about, are you obeying the rules? Are you doing the right thing? How are you acting on the Sabbath? And if you haven't done those things, well, you need to go and sort yourself out. Or maybe you've come from what we might call a tighter brethren or another Presbyterian type church or another kind of church where it was all like about rules, okay? You need to like basically stand on one leg, touch your nose, wear a hat on your back or whatever, and then you're in or you're out. And God's grace isn't cheap grace. It isn't just, well, you can just do what you want to do. But it's not about earning God's favor by obeying the rules. So can't we see how we may have come to that understanding living in the Western culture of law and guilt-based society because we just think it's about obeying the law. Again, the law is a beautiful thing given by God because it shows us what sin is and our need of Christ, but the law doesn't save us. And so God's grace is poured out upon Mary in an incredible way, his favor. Now, we tend to think of encountering God's grace equally as something nice and gentle. Like maybe it's a very, very hot day and you're in the south of France or Spain and you just get a cool breeze coming in. You're like, oh, that's great. That's lovely. Just like that. Give me that cool breeze. Yeah, I'm loving that. And that's what God's grace is like. He just comes in like a lovely wee cool breeze. Or maybe it's like a cold day where we have a lovely big cup of hot chocolate and we've got marshmallows on top and we sit around the fire and God's grace is so cozy. Don't we just love it when we get our hands around a cup of hot chocolate and God's grace is just so cozy, isn't it? We just want a cozy grace. Paul David Tripp says that God's grace doesn't always come in comfortable forms, but it's still grace. And it's still evidence that he loves us. Have you experienced that in your life? I was struck with Nate standing up here that seems very true for you, Nate, and for me, and for many of us. That God's grace works in such a way that he actually wants to get the chisel out on us sometimes and chisel off the rough edges because he loves us. It's not like, oh, Lord, thank you so much. It's a lovely cool breeze. It's a lovely hot chocolate. Can I just have more of that? He sometimes gets a chisel out and he's hacking off the rough edges because he loves us and he doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to become more like Jesus. And so encountering God and his call on our life can be something that unsettles us. Boy, it unsettles us. Because God wants to take people like Mary, you and me, and change us by his grace. Mary was shown favor by God's grace, not because of where she was born or her family or her upbringing, but because she was called and chosen by God. And that's a very freeing thing for her and a freeing thing for you. You're not really that special. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm not really that special. But God, in his grace, thinks that you are worth it. He loves you so much that he is calling you and choosing you and approving you. So where you stress out in life and think, do I look beautiful enough? Am I strong enough? Am I intellectual enough? Am I progressing in my career? God just cuts through all that stuff and says, no. I love you because you're my child. You don't need to prove yourself. I love you because of my grace. And so Mary was shown his favor, and she was called and chosen. And if anything, it was her husband who was in the line of David. This is not Downton Abbey. You know, it's not like you've got to marry aristocracy here. It's like Mary was just another woman, but she was favored by God and seen as special in God's eyes. And she was marrying somebody in the line of David. So there was a kind of little bit of Downton Abbey going on, because there was a kind of heritage that was being kept on the go. And Grace and I have joined the party very late there. Liam bought Grace a box set. So by the way, if you've seen it all, don't tell us the ending. We're only on season 3, right? So, but it's a great chill out. It's a good kind of, hey, let's put a Downton on. I can recommend it. It's good. So Ephesians 2 verse 8, we see more of this. If you flick to Ephesians 2 and verse 8, we see a little bit more of what God's grace looks like when we see Ephesians 2 and verse 8. If I can find it. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So grace is a gift. It is not of yourself, it is a gift. And sometimes, well, firstly, if we're not a Christian, you cannot earn God's grace. You need to receive God's grace. You need to receive Jesus Christ. If we are a Christian, I think sometimes we forget that God's grace is a gift. Because we're kind of like, well, if I just kind of read 4 chapters of the Bible today, if I just kind of pray a little bit more, if I just kind of, I don't know, if I just wait in God's presence for 23 minutes instead of 15 minutes, I'm maybe going to be up in the game here. I'm going to have a really turbocharged Christian life here. But God's grace is a gift. And he wants us to receive his gift. Sam Alibri really helpfully says this, and I think it's, just get this, because it resonates with me, and I pray it resonates with you. I don't need to look good so Jesus can look good. You hear what I'm saying? I don't need to look good so Jesus can look good. I'm just going to stop there, right? Because that's half of our problem, isn't it? You see, I don't want to come up here with a virus feeling rough. I want to feel good. I want to look good, I want to feel good, I want to be on my game. Because it's like, well, I'm serving Jesus, right? But so much of the stress that we put on ourselves is because we're trying to look good. We're trying to be good. We're trying to be the man, be the woman. I don't need to look good so Jesus can look good. I'm not going to go, wow, that's incredible. You just really brought it today, and Jesus just looks so much better. I mean, you just really added to the glory and the majesty of Jesus. I mean, if it wasn't for you, Jesus just wouldn't look as good. That's just ridiculous, isn't it? I don't need to look good so Jesus can look good. I need to be honest about colossal spiritual need so he can look all sufficient. Wow. I don't need to look good so he can look good. I need to be honest about my colossal spiritual need. So you have got a spiritual need. I have got spiritual needs. And we've got colossal spiritual needs. We've got massive spiritual needs. We've got a massive need of God. We are broken people who need healing. We're not people that have got it all together. We've got a massive set of needs. And why do we need to be honest about our colossal spiritual need? So that he can look all sufficient. Because for Mary, his grace is sufficient. And for us, his grace is sufficient. So we look like we've got to have it all together. We've got to look like we're being good. Because if I don't look like I've got it together and I don't look like I'm being good, then Jesus is going to look a bit shabby. But if I admit my colossal spiritual need, then in my weakness, you can see his all sufficiency. He is all sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is enough, as we were singing. His grace is enough. And grace reminds us that God comes down to us in Christ. And I think it's really good for us to remind ourselves of this at Christmas. That where so many religions and philosophies are trying to reach up to God, are trying to prove themselves to God, that God himself takes on flesh and comes down among us, is God with us, as Angus was reminding us last week, that God is with us. He's not just partly God or some kind of God. It's God taking on flesh and coming down to be among us. And every other religion is, I need to prove myself. I need to look good so my God looks good. Do we get that? But the freeing thing about God's grace is that God comes down and down and down, and the baby has landed. He is among us. God is with us. Mary was called by God's grace, but she didn't earn her position. She was called, as we can be called. And it's not that she was full of self-confidence. It wasn't that she was better than others. It wasn't that she was somehow incredible just in and of herself. She was favored by God. And in verse 30, it says, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor. You have found grace upon grace with God. The Lord is with you. It's Emmanuel again, as we were thinking about last week. So we are called too. We're called by the Holy Spirit, opening our eyes to our sin and our need of forgiveness. We're called out of darkness into light. We are called from death to life. And we are called to see that Christ makes a way for us to be part of his family. And do you see that today? Do you see that you are called by God's grace? Does that warm your heart this morning? Does that take the pressure off your shoulders as you look to prove yourself at school or college or university in an evidence-based society, as you look to go quicker and faster when you know you can't go quicker and faster at work, when you look to somehow try and be the best parent or the best child or the best grandparent, that actually God has called you by his grace, not to a performance-based life. But there is a freedom that comes from knowing that the pressure is off because we are loved and accepted by Jesus. And God calls us and moves in our life in such a way that he is speaking to us today. And he's calling and moving in and of our lives. And one really encouraging story that I heard recently was from another Nathan. Nathan, sorry, it's slightly longer than I said you'll be up, but would you like to come up now? Let's give Nathan a round of applause. And Nathan's just going to share something with us that's going to encourage us. Thank you, Nathan. Sorry, I was a little longer than you thought.
So, as some of you may know, I've recently been accepted to go on a trip with Tear Fund to Bangladesh. So this all started when I failed to get into uni and was forced to take a gap year. And so then, so I thought, oh, I might as well make the best of it. And then, so I was like praying for God to give me something to do, something that I'd want to do. And then one day I got an email from Tear Fund saying, oh, trip to Bangladesh, do this, do that, would you like to go? And it was something about it just sort of spoke to me and said, I want to do that. And so naturally I tried to ignore that. And then, but I just kept on, I couldn't forget it, and it just kept on going through my mind, and I didn't know why, and I didn't know why I wanted to do it, and why I wanted to go away. I just sort of felt a sort of calling towards it, and not knowing why, it turns out, just, it wasn't a good enough answer for my parents. They're like, but you need to have a reason. So I don't know, just want to do it, I don't know why. So then I kept praying about it, like, God, show me that this is what you want me to do. And then one day at a service, there's a moment of prayer, and then Clive said, I feel like somebody here is being called to do mission work. And I was just sort of like, oh, I guess I have to apply now. So I applied thinking, if it is what God wants me to do, then it'll happen. So I applied, and then through his grace, I ended up getting accepted and now hopefully going away next year to Bangladesh.
Great, thank you, Nathan. And it's a good example, isn't it, of how it is a bit uncomfortable when God speaks to us at times, that we do sometimes have a wrestle with him and what he's saying to us. But not only are we called by grace, but we're also equipped by grace. And I'm going to track through this as quick as I can. Luke 1:31 says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the Lord, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And in Ephesians 2, if you've still got a finger in Ephesians 2, in verse 10 of that, it says, "For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we're not only called by grace, but we're equipped by God's grace. He's prepared good works in advance for Mary to do, and he's prepared good works in advance for us to do. It wasn't part of Mary's five-year plan. Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hang out with friends. I'm going to meet an angel one day. Angel's going to come down and say, "Well, actually, you know, you're favored. You're going to end up carrying the Son of God." And yeah, it's going to be incredible. She had no idea that that was happening. And the equipping needs to be something that comes to her, given to her. She can't just do that in her own power, and neither can we. Neither can we do life in our own power, that we have to be equipped by God's grace. Just this week, cars are amazing now, aren't they? Because when you used to get in a car and you had very little petrol left, it just was in the red zone. And I don't know if you're like me, maybe not, but you'd just be like, "Oh, come on, and risk it a bit, you know, shake the tank a bit." It used to be just like in the red zone, we'll get there, we'll just pray it through. And now the car tells you exactly how many miles you've got left, which is incredible, but also quite scary. Because I got in the car one day this week and it said, "You've got 13 miles left in your tank." And I thought, sure, no problem. I've got to do a school run. I'll get there, drop off, come back, no problem. Got to the destination, and for some reason, it was like some kind of, you know, Wheel of Fortune or whatever. It just came up with 1 mile left. I thought, well, how am I going to get home on 1 mile? So I was praying my way up through Ratho. There's a diversion going on there just now. Thank you, Edinburgh Council. And was going through Ratho and then freewheeling it down the, you know, down the hills, just like good old style kind of driving. And eventually made it to the petrol station in Newbridge and thought, great. And, you know, I was quite pleased with myself. Made this. Thank you, Lord. You've helped me down the hills and up the hills. I'll just put 20 quid in because it's a rip-off at Newbridge. And I'll put 20 quid in and it will see me through. But it suddenly struck me that when we used to, especially in the Highlands, when you used to get your fuel, you were not allowed to put the fuel in yourself. Don't know if any of you remember that. So that you used to go to a petrol station. So let's just imagine me in the car, and I pull up, and I'm there, and I pull up, and, you know, we Donnie Monroe today is like, "Oh, what do you want?" And he's like, "You know, oh, 20 pound of fuel." So he doesn't let me get out the car, and then he puts the fuel in the car, and then I hand him my 20 pound out of the window, and then I'm allowed to drive on. That, if any young people are here, is how we used to roll with fuel. That was like, you couldn't do it yourself. Donnie Monroe had to do it. He filled it up, and that was it. And it struck me that when it comes to being equipped by God's grace, is that we believe in that, but sometimes we're like, "I believe in that, but I'm still going to do it myself. I believe in that, but I'll just use the self-automated petrol pump, if you don't mind. I mean, I've got like Apple Pay here. I've got it all going on. Ping, ping, ping. I'm going to do it all myself. I believe in your grace, God, but I'm going to just, I've got this. I have got this." And the reality is it doesn't work like that. We need to take ourselves to the fueling station, and it's God who comes out and fills us. He's like, "You're not getting out of the car. I'm filling you because you're not going anywhere unless I'm the one who fills you by my Spirit." And that's the way it was with Mary, and it's the way it is with us. So we see in verse 31, she is to conceive the baby boy. So she receives the work of the Spirit in that. She's to name the baby Jesus, the one who saves, in verse 31. She's to be equipped by the Holy Spirit. So it's the filling of God and Spirit coming into her that enables this miracle to happen. And then we see this incredible picture that I've never seen before in my life, and I don't know why I haven't seen it. We see a picture of what it is to be in union with Christ. Mary has the baby Jesus in her. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have Christ in us, so that we have this union with Christ. And because of, and why this is so profound is this, it's because of our Western mindset, we think it's all about I and others over there. So it's not that I am over here and, hey, Jesus, can I just have a little bit of you? Can you just top me up? The profundity of this picture of Mary having the baby Jesus in her is that we have Christ in us, this union with Christ. It isn't I'm over here and Jesus, you're over there. That we have this solidness of union with Christ. It's not that we can just be a little bit pregnant in this situation. She is fully pregnant. We cannot just have a bit of Jesus. We have union with Christ. And why that is so important is because God's grace in this sense is not a commodity that can be taken away. Lewis Capaldi, the Scottish mainstream singer-songwriter, has a song called Grace. And he says in that song, your grace, don't take it away. And it sounds like grace has become a commodity. Like, well, I just need a bit of your grace, but don't take it away. But when God says, I am Emmanuel, I've come to be with you, I've come to dwell in you, I am in union with you, I am for you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, there is a solid assurance that he is equipping us with his grace, and we live by his grace, and it's all of grace. And lastly, we are transformed by grace. Look at verses 36 and 38. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. We see how God's grace was at work with Elizabeth. Now we see how it's working with Mary. And Mary came to this point of submission and realization that she was transformed by grace. Because in verse 38, she says, her part of it is, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. So let me ask you as we finish, in simple terms, children that are here, young people that are here, adults, is Jesus Christ living in you? Have you asked Jesus into your life in very simple terms by the power of the Holy Spirit? In other words, are you in union with Jesus? Is he in you and you in him by the Spirit? And if that is the case, our calling should be that he is glorified and that his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 9 says, but he said to me, this is Paul speaking, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And the very last thing I say is this regarding this sermon. David Tripp says, our sin is what separates us from God, but it's our self-righteousness that keeps us from running to him for the grace that he willingly gives to all who come. May it not be that we are prevented from knowing and experiencing and enjoying the grace of God because of our self-righteousness. May we know his goodness. Let's pray. I'll ask the band to come up and let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace to us. Thank you that you use us in our weakness. We thank you that you are sufficient. We want to glorify you. We want to boast in you. We want to say that you are the powerful one, that when we're stripped down to nothing, when we can't feel we can do things ourselves, when the enemy comes at us and says that you're no good, or how are you getting on in your life? Are you progressing? Or are you developing? Or what about these guys at work? Or what about that family? When we compare ourselves, God, to other people, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for us, that it was sufficient for Mary. And so I ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would embed that in us today, that your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for us, God. May it be on a Sunday and a Thursday afternoon and a Friday morning. Come, we pray, Holy Spirit. Embed that in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.